This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of L&G Talks Asset Management. I'm Nick Jardine, Content Manager at L&G, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Ashal Arora, who's Managing Director of Digital Infrastructure Investments. If you've listened to our podcast or checked out our blog in the recent past, you'll know that digital infrastructure is one area we believe has the potential to benefit from a persistent structural demand. Assets like data centers, fiber networks, and wireless towers have become critical infrastructure in an age where digital connectivity is vital for economic growth. Couple this with a demand-supply mismatch, and it's understandable why digital infrastructure as a sector is one garnering a lot of attention. Today, Ashal is going to run through some of the most pertinent questions surrounding digital infrastructure, shedding more light on why this asset class has the potential to be a compelling one for investors. Ashal, thank you so much for being here.
Pleased to be here, Nick, and nice to talk to you on this podcast.
Fantastic. Let's dive straight into a topic that I'm sure most of our listeners have read about, and that's artificial intelligence. AI proliferation is identified often as a key driver of digital infrastructure. Can you talk about developments that we've seen in the last 12 months that have influenced this demand and how that's impacted digital infrastructure?
Yeah. So at the heart of the AI thematic, the hyperscalers, the primarily US-based tech companies, which is the Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, etc. Essentially, if you think about the demand dynamic that are driving the AI thematic, you see that these hyperscalers' revenue is accelerating. It is used to be in the order of 25% order of magnitude. It's accelerating now well beyond 30%. On the same side, physical infrastructure, which is the enabler of some of this demand growth, it's a combination of cloud and AI, not just AI, but both of them. Physical infrastructure has an inherent constraint where you can't build stuff faster than a certain rate. So physical infrastructure grows at high single-digit growth percentages. And that means that these hyperscalers are in constant pursuit to lock in supply, which is the key enabler of some of their growth. And that causes, as you referred to, a supply versus demand mismatch. That is the key thematic that is driving the growth for data centers, which sort of are like the pick and shovels in this whole gold mining journey of AI. Then thinking about what are the implications of AI, because whilst overall, both cloud and AI are positive for the demand, the AI demand is influencing which pockets have more demand versus the other. So first thing to remember is that even today, cloud still drives 90% of the data center demand. And it's still growing at 15 to 17%, which is a very healthy growth rate. AI today is sort of 10% of the demand, but is growing very rapidly from an admittedly smaller base. So the demand for cloud remains, and AI is adding significantly to that demand. Another thing that AI is doing is slightly the nature of that demand has got adjusted a bit. So you can think of demands in two pockets, really. One is the dense population and business centers, London, Paris, Frankfurt, these markets. They're called as prime markets. In Europe, they're also addressed as FLAP-D markets, which is Frankfurt, London, Amsterdam, Paris, and Dublin. The proximity to the population and business centers remains critically important. And that's why London is an attractive market, and we are invested into that market. And with respect to the AI, the key driver at the moment is training, which is like showing a child lots of data to make it learn. This is very power hungry. And therefore, the key driver of where these data centers come up is based on abundance and cost of power. So looking for the cheapest power available. This means that tier two cities are increasing in demand. Places which are rich in cheaper and renewable power sources, such as the Nordics, Sweden, Norway, Finland, are really increasing in demand. Portugal and Spain, which have very high solar resources, is also growing in demand.
I think that's a good segue to our next question here, because as you've alluded to, as demand for digital infrastructure has increased, the discussion has focused on the power requirements for these assets. So perhaps it's worth talking about the full picture here, because if you want to build a data center or a tower, how that asset is powered is a consideration you're going to need to take into account.
Absolutely. So look, I mean, you are absolutely right. Like if you go back 10 years, land used to be a key driver. Since then, today, because the equipment in the data centers has become denser, so you can actually do the same job in less space, it is all about power. And most of the primary cities, which are the cities of key demand across the world today, have 4 to 5 years of wait time for power. If you start preparing for a data center site in London today, there is very limited chance that you will be able to have that site ready for service before early 2030s. And the key reason is that there's scarcity of power and there is a mismatch between the speed at which data centers are expanding versus the grid has ability to expand. This creates another layer of supply-demand mismatch in the supply chain, again, increasing the strategic value of owning sites with power availability. Another key question that investors ask themselves is how to pick asset. What is the right location for data centers? And the answer is that it depends on the use cases. An AI training data center could be wherever there is abundance of cheap power versus use cases that are either cloud or AI inference based, meaning they need to interact with the businesses and population with low latency, meaning fast speed. They typically need to be much closer to the population and business centers. And the key challenge, therefore, is that these markets, like the FLAPD markets, or even some other tier two markets in Europe, there is lots of supply constraint on power in those markets. What does that mean for investors? The way I see it, it means on one end, there is more types of opportunities available for investors. And on the other end, these opportunities are on a spectrum of risk reward. So on one end, you have the supply constrained business centers, which have attractive growth and low risk. On the other end, you have the more remote markets, which are attractive for AI training purposes, which is driving significant growth. On the same side, because there is abundance of land and power in those markets, they have more competitive risk factors associated. So actually, as an investor, I feel like we have more choice. We have more ability to manage portfolios across the risk spectrum.
Thanks, Ashel. Just to kind of change gears a little bit, for some reasons, and maybe we can talk about these reasons, data centers seem to dominate the conversation whenever we talk about digital infrastructure. These aren't the only assets, though, that are in this sector. How do towers and fiber fit into the equation?
On the question of domination, I think that's more of human psychology matter. Like 5 years ago, fiber networks used to dominate the conversation. These things tend to be inherently cyclical, which is a key topic we as investors evaluate and look for opportunities where less people are talking about them as well. So the full picture, however, is that the whole communications world is basically thinking about it as an interconnected mesh. You are sitting at your home. I am in office at the moment. We are in two different parts of London. And whilst we are communicating, there is a full mesh of fiber connections, mobile towers in use, as well as we are talking on Teams and the LNG softwares are loaded into certain data centers, which is situated in Harlow. And there is connectivity from Harlow to London and connectivity from my location to your location. So actually, the topic of convergence of actually all these digital infrastructures working together with each other is quite relevant to think about as investors. On the other hand, there is difference in what AI has done. So historically, data centers were storing data. With AI, it's a lot less about storing data. It's a lot more about processing, which is a lot more power intensive. That creates the supply-demand mismatch that we talked about. So whilst artificial intelligence overall is a positive driver for all types of digital infrastructure, including data center and connectivity infrastructure, but it's particularly driving stronger growth in data center domain simply because these are the factories where AI is generated. There are no more storage centers in a logistics stream. There are a lot more like factories where AI is being produced. Other reason that people talk about is that fiber and towers are more mature in their sort of infrastructure journey. And like with every domain of infrastructure or investment overall, there are both tailwinds and headwinds. And the main headwind for connectivity infrastructure is that the primary client for data center are hyperscalers, which are growing at 30% plus revenue growth. On the other hand, primary client for connectivity infrastructure still is telcos, who then serve the end consumers and businesses like you and me. But these telcos are struggling to get inflation-linked growth. And that influences the growth dynamic between data center and fiber and towers.
Thanks, Ashil. Like any asset class, you know, digital infrastructure also has geographical considerations that need to be taken into account. Can you speak to the difference between, say, infrastructure in the US and Europe and some of the different drivers and challenges that face these assets?
Absolutely. For pretty much all the technology and communications related thematics, it has been observed that US tends to be ahead by approximately 3 years or so versus Europe. That actually creates a strong opportunity for us as investors because we use US as the lead indicator, the market where you learn, and then there's an opportunity to apply those learnings into the European markets. What are the key fundamental market structure differences between US and Europe? One is power cost. Power in US is around 10 cents a unit. Certain markets like Texas even have 6 to 8 cents a unit. Average in Europe is around 20 cents a unit. That said, average in Europe is a bit of a misnomer because multiple European markets work differently, and several of the European markets, example, France, is well ahead on regulatory support, and it has relatively cheaper power, still not at the US levels, but relatively cheaper power than other European markets. Nordics have cheaper access to power, and they are pushing the sovereign data center agenda a lot. So overall, we think there is a very strong sovereignty-linked policy push across Europe at the moment, and which gives us a lot of investment opportunities. So we think this is a very strong growth framework in Europe, and we are really bullish about the sovereignty thematic driving more and more opportunities for us as investors.
Thanks, Ashil. And just to kind of end today, I'd like to maybe return to this theme of power that we've spoken about. So one trend we've addressed recently in our content on the blog and on the podcast is the increasing convergence of digital and clean power infrastructure. In practical terms, what do we mean by convergence here? And how might investors be able to kind of potentially capture this trend?
The easiest way to explain this is like data centers, I said, were the factories producing AI. Power is the fuel that drives these factories. And actually, also on towers, the towers need power for the transmission equipment that sits on top of the towers to actually transmit signals. So without power, not a lot of digital infrastructure works. Actually, one could argue that fiber is a technology that conserves power. There's still a power relationship. Copper used to consume a lot of power. Fiber is an evolution which has cut down on that power usage. So there is understanding digital infrastructure needs a strong understanding of power dynamics. That's sort of power in general. Where it concerns clean power, this has created both a lot of opportunities, such as a lot of demand, for example, we were talking about for data centers has moved to markets where clean power and abundance of power is available, such as the Nordics or Portugal or Spain, Italy, etc. On the other hand, it has also meant because of some of the regulatory overloads, the price of power in Europe is higher than that of the US. So the growth in Europe has been more stable and moderate relative to that in the US.
Great. Well, Ashar, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you everybody for listening.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.